Matthew chapter 18, verse 11 says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." A close relationship with God is the most important thing you can have. Above food, water, shelter, and I would even say breath in your lungs. You lack any of those things, but you have a close relationship with God, and he'll either sort you out or he'll take you to a place where you need none of those things. God is good. He's been good to you and he's been good to me. He's done so because he loves us. And that love brings him to care for us, to care for our physical needs as well as our spiritual needs. Even when we are the ones causing trouble for ourselves, he is always there to make sure we are going to be all right. The picture of the shepherd carrying a sheep on his back is an amazing picture. It's an amazing illustration of the relationship that we have with God. We get ourselves into trouble. We feed our flesh. We give in to our lusts. We follow the path that others may have set for us. And before we know it, we are far removed from God. We don't know how we got here, and it's too awkward to try to make our way back. I've seen videos of those sheep. They'll go running off, or the shepherd will get down, and he'll rescue them out of a crevice or whatever it is they're stuck in, and the sheep goes running off, and he runs right back into the... Right back into whatever it is you fell into. Always get a kick out of that. But again, I love that picture of the shepherd that carries the sheep on his back. Because above all the trouble that that sheep caused for itself, above all the need that that poor little sheep has, it didn't bother the shepherd at all to go to where he was, pick him up, put him on his back. In that picture, I'm reminded of something that I saw this morning. We have a rule in our house. I'm not saying that this is Bible. I'm not even giving this as advice. We have a rule in our house. The kids do not sleep in our beds. Does not happen. We established it with Xander. We were very strong with it through Caspian and Gideon. And I tell you what, I still believe in that. Now, I'm not, you, this is not a, this is not instruction. I'm not giving you advice. I'm just telling you what is. Right, we can discuss the finer points of that later. Maybe you can convince me on this. This ain't Bible, this is opinion. So that, you know, last night, Melody, she wasn't feeling all that well. Woke up this morning, Melody was in our bed. And I sat there, and you know, Danielle needed to get up, and I just came out of the shower, and she's sitting there with Mommy. And I go, "All right, come here." And she was sat up, she cuddled into her mom. Just burrowed right into Mom's arms. That reminded me of what I was going to preach this morning. She had need of her mom. She was uncomfortable. She was sleepy. She didn't feel good. She was cranky. Cuddled right into her mom. When I see that, I see that. You know, that's what I want to be with the Lord. When I have need, when I'm uncomfortable, when things have happened in my life and I need some support, I want to snuggle right in there. I want to be buried in his word. I want to have my mind engrossed in prayer. I want to feel him. I want to feel his presence in my life and in that moment. I want to sit there and pick apart the advice that he has for me. I want to put it into place in my life, and I want to see it work. Oh, I want to see it work. You know, nowadays, I don't know if we would use the illustration as the sheep and the shepherd, as it's grown such a bad connotation, but I would remind you that we all follow something. We all follow something. I would see so many kids, they would pick up new fashion trends. Either they would dress all in dark clothing, or they, in our grade, it was frosted tips in your hair. Now, many of you were too old for that. I grew up right in that period of time where if you left for summer and you came back and the tips of your hair were blonde, you were cool. Right? And I'd have teachers sit there, why would you do that to your head? They'd sit there and say, well, I like it. I want to be independent. You'd look at the class and there'd be 12 people just like it. Right? We'd go out, there'd be a brand new shoe that would come out. Everybody would have that shoe. You got it. If you are not cool, you're not wearing a shoe. We all expressed our independence and our free thinking by going out and buying that shoe. Right? We had a person, they dressed, they just dressed wild. It was almost like they were going out for Halloween. Dressed wild. They sat there and the teacher asked, why are you wearing all that? Because I like to look different. There was at least a half a dozen other kids dressed the same way in our school. You're always following something. Well, I don't listen to CNN. I listen to Fox. I don't listen to Fox. I listen to ABC. Well, whatever, right? Go on and on and on. We do things different than everybody else, and difference is so important. You are following somebody. Let's take a look at the people that we follow, the other shepherds. Before we dive into this, let's look at some of the other shepherds. Let's talk about the shepherds of society. Societal norms. What does everybody else say is good? You know, I've done things their way. You've done things their way. We weren't happy. Because as it turns out, no amount of drugs are going to make you better. You go out there and you score after you score. You put whatever into your veins. It don't make you happy. What about the rich people? They go out and, hey, what you need is you need to work hard, hustle harder, put a couple million in the bank, get to where you can retire at 35, and you will be something else. Know what you find? 5 years later, a 40-year-old who's bored. He's got some kind of a substance abuse problem. Why? Because that ain't happiness. A lot of depressed people sitting in mansions right now. Not saying money caused it, telling you money ain't helping it. Well, what you need is success. You need to have your name on something. You need to establish a legacy. You need to have all these things. Two or three generations later, people are going to forget about you. And why are you building something to edify yourself when you're not going to be around to enjoy it? They're miserable. Now, what about me? What about my way? What if I devise my own way? You know what it's called when you devise things your way? It's trial and error. And I don't know about you, but I only plan on living the once. There's no point where I make it into my 80s and my 90s, and I can sit there and look at all the decisions I made and say, these ones work, these ones don't. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to remember enough to do things the way that I decided were best. As a matter of fact, you take a snapshot of what's important to a person in their teen years, what's important to a person in their 20s and their 30s, what's important to them in their 50s and their 60s, and then their 70s and their 80s, you know what you find? Their priorities change. You don't get real wisdom until you really get to the point to where you can't redo any of those decisions. By then, you've got a messed up liver. You've got all the problems feeding the flesh gives you. I only plan on living the once. A lot of young people sitting in graves right now because they had to do things their way. We are terrible shepherds of ourselves. Terrible. We do things our way. We think we've got it figured out. Next thing you know, we have to make a ton of apologies or we're paying huge medical bills. Got to be mindful. Got to be wise. But I'll tell you this. When the Lord tells me to do something, when I follow after His teachings, I've had a lot less regret. I've had a lot more success. I've been a lot happier. And I'll tell you what, in today's day where everything seems so uncertain, I enjoy having some certainty to stand on. I enjoy having some happiness where my own decisions, doing things in a gut reaction kind of a way, would bring me devastation, would bring me sorrow. You ever meet somebody who gave in to their anger and their passions and they were mean-spirited and they were disgruntled and you couldn't have a regular conversation with them? I had a friend in high school, their mom was like that. You said hi to her, she had something mean and snarky to say, and she thought it was funny to be mean and snarky. None of her kids talked to her after they graduated. But she did it her way. It was her decision. She's got grandkids she ain't ever met. What about a soft answer? What about loving others? What about being patient? What about the fruit of the Spirit that we should be putting into our lives? Every time I've tried to emulate those fruit, my life's gotten better. And folks, that ain't no 12-step self-help program I'm talking to you about. I'm talking about real change in how you behave, creating a better lifestyle, a better environment in your life. I tell you what, I'm glad for a shepherd, but I want to look specifically at what this shepherd does for us that no other shepherd on earth, nothing else that's trying to lead us, would do. This shepherd left the 99 to come get us. I have voted conservative for every year that I have been allowed to vote. Every election that's come up, I have voted conservative. But I'll tell you right now, if I stop voting altogether, none of the Republicans are going to come knock on my door to make sure I'm okay. Right? I've got a favorite coffee shop. And I'll go to that coffee shop and I'll do my scheduling sometimes. And when we're out doing something special, maybe we'll stop there as a special treat. I tell you what, I love it. But if I stop going there, they ain't coming to my house to make sure I'm alive. They won't. I've got favorite places, you've got favorite places, you've got things that you like and you support, but if anything ever happens to you, they're not coming to make sure you're good. Hey, what happened? Oh, I'm real sick. They ain't bringing you flowers. Oh, what's going on? Oh, you know, we're really struggling financially. They ain't coming over. They ain't buying you groceries. Why? Because they're the wrong kind of shepherds. They're the kind of shepherds that want following. They're the kind of shepherds that want you for their own profits. The kind of a shepherd that would leave the 99 and go for the one is one that must really love them individually. Must really love them. Because I thought about it. If I had 99, if I had 99, would that not be enough? Hey, listen, this one over here, she's pregnant. That one over there, that one's pregnant. I'm going to have more than 100 here soon. That one kept wandering off on me. Let the birds get them, is what a lot of people would say. Not my Lord. Because to my Lord, we're not just one sheep. He knows you by name. He knew you as He formed you. He knew you before He formed you. And He loved you. He created you. He loved you. He cares for you. You are not 1 to 99. He knows you by name. He knows the very hairs on your head. He loves you so much. Now you think about it, I've got 4 kids back there. I couldn't pick one I'd want to go away. Don't make me do it. Lord's sitting and goes, I've got all these children. I don't want any of them to go away. I don't want any of them to suffer. I don't want any of them to hurt. My friends, that's love. Though the world would say, shouldn't they be enough? These 99, those that stayed, should they not be enough? Well, then we must look at some very well-known verses. For God so loved the world. We see what Jesus said as one of His last words to His church. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's love. Especially when you consider how rebellious we tend to be. We want to do things our way. We want to have what we want. We want to do things passionately and knee-jerk. We just want to do what we want to do. Regardless of what God says. And guess what? He's got to come get us. He's got to come get us. I knew a young man, he had a hard time understanding that there's only so far you could run your car before the gas ran out. One day he got stuck on the road. Dad had to come get him. 2 weeks later, he got stuck out on the road again. Dad came out to get him. And it kept happening and kept happening. And finally, the guy calls his dad and says, "Dad, I ran out of gas. Where are you?" "I'm like 5 miles away from the house." "Good, I got a gas can here. Why don't you come walking up to the house? Get this gas can." He never did it again. Ever did it again. "Stop looking at me. It wasn't me." See the way some of you are looking at it. It wasn't me. Well, you do things your way, it's eventually going to hurt you. Right? That's a philosophy we have in our house. Your problems get to be your problems. Did you dump this all over? You're going to help me clean it up. Did you do this? Well, you're going to help me undo it. Right? That's what we would expect. My Heavenly Father's got no problem coming out for the rescue. He's got no problem being patient with me. He's got no problem being patient with you. Why? Because He loves you. He values you. He died for you. When I was in the apartment industry, we'd have people, and every now and then we would do a community breakfast, which basically means I'd be sitting out there in the freezing cold, handing donuts and juices to people. "Hey, have a good day. Hey, have a good day." We called that branding. We were trying to make them happy with us. We were trying to make them excited about us. We want them to love us. Why? So they'll keep giving us money. And you know what I'd often just, you know what I'd often find? You know, we'd be sitting there under like a Valentine's Day banner giving these things out as a community breakfast. I couldn't remember half of their names. I could have been giving breakfast to the guy who's driving Uber that. Who knows? My Lord doesn't love me because He's trying to get something out of me. Because He knows I've got nothing to give Him He needs. It's not about what I can bring to the table. It's about Him bringing me to the table so He can have that fellowship. So that He can give and care and make sure I'm okay. And we would even sit there and say, "Well, wait a minute. Now that sheep, doesn't He have it coming?" That's an easy thought for us to think of when we're in the fold. But when you're the one, you're awfully glad. When it's you stuck in your sin, when it's you caught up in your problems, when it's you that's got the need and you can't figure it out, aren't you glad? He doesn't just throw His hands up and says, "Well, you got it coming." Now, don't get me wrong, we do have it coming. We ought to be punished for the wrong things we do. But I'm glad for grace. I'm glad for mercy. Because when I ought to get what I've got coming to me, so very often He stayed that judgment. You know, I'll tell you this. You know, for those of you, you've got AAA or some kind of roadside assistance on your car insurance. When you call them for a rescue, don't you expect them to show up? Why do you expect them to show up? Because you gave them money, and that was the deal. I give you money, you rescue me. Right? Car broke down, I need a tow. Wherever I am, I want that tow truck to come and take me over to the garage or take me back to the house so I can fix this. God don't owe us a rescue. But He does so anyway. Why? Love. That's good. Because I need a rescue from time to time. Don't you need a rescue from time to time? Not just from the things your sin brought into your life, but from things that naturally occur. Aren't you glad that He is willing to come out, grab a hold of you in your situation, point you the right way, grab a hold of you, throw you over His neck and bring you in love, care for you, tend to your wounds? Aren't you glad when you're the one that He's got no problem coming to get you? I've known many a people strayed away from the Lord, and they let time and habit build up in the gap. So much so and for so long that they begin to wonder, can I ever really go back? I want you to think about this. Not only can you come back, but He's coming for you. He's coming for you. That's how badly He wants you back. I think of this, and I think of the parallels between this and the prodigal son. Where is he? He's out there waiting. Come on, you know where I am. Come on. Repent of your sin. Put into practice the things that I have put there. I'm right here. Just come home. Gladly receive you. I'll tell you what, the Lord ain't bothered to kill the fatted calf for you.
He ain't bothered to take a ring off his hand and put it on your finger. He ain't bothered to do that. He'll do that for you. He loves you. We may have whatever coming to us that we bring into our lives. But my friends, that is what grace is for. That's what grace is for. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." See, the law was a very strict thing. It was a very hard thing to follow. Your sin nature would always foul it up, no matter how hard you tried. And even if you followed it good, we had people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were proud of their ability to follow it. They became legalistic, thinking that their ability to do what they're told would be some kind of a blessing. Would mean that they're some kind of alpha person. They're a better human being. The law always messed with us. Because we couldn't do a thing for it. It always revealed just how imperfect we were. Even when we were getting it right, our pride would get in the way. Revealed to us the sinners we are. But what did Jesus bring? Grace. Now, I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with the law. The law did its job. The law was supposed to reveal that to us. The law was supposed to show that to us. God gave the law through Moses. But when we see what Jesus Christ is grace. Grace. I'm glad he rescues the one. I'm glad he rescues us from the traps of the devil. I'm glad he rescues us from our wayward travels. I'm glad that he rescues us from our wounds. And oh, nowadays there are so many. So many. Wounds from our childhood. Wounds from the treatment of others. Wounds we brought upon ourselves. Addictions and hurts and debts and fears and whatever we've brought upon ourselves. He rescues us. And not just that, but he is faithful to do so. Oh, and not just faithful, but willing, desirous even to have us restored back to the way we were. And we see also that he not only rescues, but he rejoices. Now, folks, don't think that that doesn't mean he doesn't love the 99. Right? Now, there are some people I see on a regular basis. It's kind of awkward. You know, there's a couple of you that I talk to and I see all the time. So when I see you, hey, how are you? I think my biggest transgression, and this is with Brother Mark, you know, we won't even say hi sometimes. Hey, I got this email you did yesterday, and I just want to, we get right into it. And then there's some people you only see sporadically. So when I see them, oh, hey, how are you? It's good to see. That probably don't look good. But there's something to it. I see you. Doesn't mean I don't love you any less. Doesn't mean I love you less. I see you. You are a normal occasion in my life. The love, the respect, it's all there. But I tell you what, if every time I saw you, oh, hey, how are you? You know, some of you, you hear all the time. So Sunday morning, hey! Sunday night, hey! Wednesday, oh, how are you? And then Friday morning when you come in for coffee, hey! You'd think there's something wrong with me. Some of you already do. When the Lord says that he rejoices more for the one than the 99, it doesn't mean he loves the 99 less. Just saying there's something special going on here. We got a rekindling. We've got a rejoining. We got a reunion going on here. So I'm excited for this reunion. I'm excited to see you back. Well, now, wait a minute. Wouldn't he be mad? Wouldn't he be mean? No, that's a human thing we do. That's a human thing we do. Oh, no, first you got to take some verbal abuse. First, you've got to see that I'm angry, and you've got to appease my anger. You've got to appease my sense of justice, and then I'll treat you like a normal person. That is a human thing. God, don't do that. With God, forgiveness is forgiveness. I'll forgive you. Come back. I'll rejoice for you. Yeah, but you don't understand. I wandered away of my own volition. I got caught up run around here with these wolves. I got bit a little bit there. I went too close to the edge on this, and I scuffed myself all up. I'm in bad shape. He ain't going to want me back. You don't know my Savior then. Why did he come? He says so in this passage of Scripture, to seek and to save that which was perfect. To seek and to save that which got it all together. To seek and to save that which knows what it's doing and isn't doing right now. To seek and to save that which was lost. And folks, that is every human being that's ever traversed this planet. All of us lost. All of us struggling. All of us trying. He's got no problem rejoicing in our return. And that's what we have to see, is that when we go astray, he misses us. I want you to think of the parent that has a child that doesn't just grow up and develop a life, and that's a wonderful thing. We rejoice in that. That's wonderful. But we're talking about the kind of person that would leave, and they're out there, and they've got no contact with their parents. There's nothing but struggle there. The parent reaches out, but the kid never calls back. It's heartbreaking for that parent. And all they want is for that child to come home. For that child to pick up that fellowship. That's what the Lord wants. When we as His children, if you're saved, when we stop communicating to Him, you know what He wants? He wants you back. When we get out of church, when we're out there chasing after whatever we think is going to bring us happiness, He wants us to come home. You know, I think about that. I think about the rejoicing, what that would look like for a shepherd that goes out looking for one of his and he finds it. Ha-ha! I found it! I found my sheep! It's going to be okay. I thought it might have died out there. Man, the wolves, I saw a wolf the other day. There was a bear in the woods. Oh, I found it. You know, the lions are really getting big around here. I'm glad I've got it. It's going to be okay. While you're imagining that, I want you to put that in perspective of the Lord here. I got them. They were out there. They were in this world. The world was feeding them lies. They were putting stuff into their bodies. They were participating in things weren't no good for them. They're out there. Sin was rampant in what was going on. And there's the Lord. He's got his hand on your back. He's dusting you off. It's okay. It's okay. He's looking at your cuts and your scrapes and your wounds. He's doctoring them up. Hey, it's okay. We got you situated. We got you figured out. Don't worry. I'm here. I'm here. It's going to be okay now. My friends, we need the Lord to be that close to us in our lives. We need to be there where He can take care of us, watch over us. And of course, I say this very metaphorically, but it's important for us to realize what that looks like to be close to the Lord. That is where He is speaking through His word, I am doing. I am obeying. What He tells me to avoid, I avoid. What He has in His scripture that is medicine for my soul, I am listening to, I am administering into my heart so that I know I can trust Him. And I can have the peace that He has for me. I thought about that little girl this morning. She's sitting there sick up half the night. She's got the little crusties on her nose that you get when you're sick. She leaned back at her mom. You know what she did? She smiled. She smiled. Well, what happened? Did laying on her mom make all the sick go away? Nah, she is still sick. You look at her now, you can't tell. She was still tired. She was still sick. But there's peace in Mama's arms. I tell you what, there's peace in our Father's arms. When I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and I'm reading the beautiful poetry of Scripture, when I'm reading the accounts of people that trusted in Him, and He did exactly what He promised, there's something different. The pain don't always go away, the troubles don't immediately stop, but I'm strong enough now to handle it. I'll say this as we look at this. As we look at this story, verse 12. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray.
Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You know what that means? It means he loves the ones that hang around the fold just as much. He doesn't want any of us to fall. Doesn't want any of us to go out and put ourselves into danger. You see, when we are with him, we're safe. And to be honest, he'd rescue each and every one of us. He'd rescue any of us. We don't put a name to the one. We don't put a name to the 99. They've already got names. It's us. As sure as you're an individual, he knows you by name, and he'd go rescue you wherever you are. Oh, you don't understand, I really messed up. There ain't no sin he can't forgive. Oh, you don't understand, it's been too long. Time ain't nothing to God. Time ain't nothing to God. You don't think he knew roughly where you were? What's going on? And I'll tell you this, we talk about backsliding, we talk about need and rescue. You know, I want to warn you, you don't have to be not attending church to be this. I'm speaking to those that can sit there backslidden as all get out and be in church every service. You sit there, hey, turn to this verse, praise God whom all the blessings flow. And then we sit down. We're not really thinking about those words. Those aren't worship. We sit there and the preacher preaches on and preaches on, and we wake up when we hear everybody laughing, and we startle a little bit when someone says amen, but our minds are a mile away. And when he says things about sin, we scoff a little bit. And when he says, oh, we need to change our lives, we sit there and we call that judgmental. We could sit there and be perfectly, have perfect attendance for years and be as backslidden as you can be. Right? Location has nothing to do with where you are in your heart. Your body can be in a place your heart ain't. We're talking about how close you are to the Lord. And I'll tell you this, he'll rescue you. Well, it's awkward. I don't want anybody to know. Safer in a fold. It's better to make repentance. Get that right between you and him. See, our safety, it matters to him. Our spiritual safety matters to him. The relationship that we have with him matters to him. So put very simply, don't go astray. Because there's not a lot of love in this world. And if you need any love, you need the love of the Father. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself where you are. Only ever get closer. Only ever get closer, but do not leave the Lord. I have never once seen that go well. And that's not just opinion. You know, you see people, they come to know the Lord, and the Lord saves them, and after a while they give back into the flesh, and they get back into the sins they were doing. They get out of church, and I sit there, and there's a bit of pride to it. Well, look what I found on the internet that disparages God. That's got to be true. I found it on the internet. Hey, look, here's that same fact, but there's a picture in the background. That makes it even more credible. Hey, look, there's a professor so-and-so over here. He says it, so therefore, it's got to be credible. Hey, I can't defend God. Therefore, these people that are attacking him must be right. All of a sudden, what happens? Those problems come anyway. I had somebody that said the reason why they don't believe in God, or the reason why they don't like God, or the reason why they're atheists is because of how many children are killed. I go, that's tough. But let's say you're right and God don't exist. They're dying anyway. Because some of it because of stuff we're doing. A lot of it because of stuff we're doing. Right? Mankind is still the number one reason children die. Okay? Now we look over on the other side. Well, what about all these people who are starving and who are hurting? Well, that's a nice $1,000 technological device you're writing on. Why don't you sell it, feed somebody? Well, you're saying God ain't taking care of them, but you've got a $100,000 a year job. Who are you feeding? Lord gave us the resources. Sounds like the problem is you.
You know, well, we got people that could sit there and build this and do that. We've got the ability to govern things in such a way where we could feed people. We've got the supplies. We've got the resources. I mean, my goodness, you go over to the fast food restaurant, go ahead and open up that dumpster. You know what you're going to find inside that dumpster? Throwing out food. So you tell me, did God not give us enough resources? He did. We've got places that, we got Las Vegas. Think about Las Vegas. Las Vegas has water pumps and things going on, water shows, all sorts of water they got over there in Vegas. That's a desert, folks. They got to pump that in from far away. So do we got the ability, the technological know-how to get water to people ain't got it? Yep. Can we purify water? Yep. Did God give us the resources for these people to eat and be taken care of? Yep. What's the problem? Policy. Decision making. Resource hoarding. Can't blame God for that. We did that. Well, now hold on a second. What about all these things that God says that we don't like? Just because you don't like them don't mean he ain't right. If you've lived life long enough, you'll understand. Just because you don't like something don't make it right. What we need is the Lord. What we need is to be is to have a close and personal relationship with Him. And I'll tell you this, when you're close to the Lord, He can better take care of you. He can better protect you from temptation because you're strong enough. I tell you what, on a day where I have got up and I have read and I have prayed and I have done my devotionals and I have sat there and I have meditated on Scripture, those are better days concerning temptation. I give in to temptation a lot less on those days. Why? Because I'm close to Him. His Word is in my mind. And I'll tell you what, when the troubles and trials come, and they come on days where I'm doing well, they hit a whole lot differently. I'm a lot more prepared. I'm a lot more structured. I'm a lot closer to Him. Whole lot closer to Him. I'm going to pick on Gideon. I'm trying to pick on my kids less, but I'm pick on Gideon. When Gideon was a little baby, he had a fear of geese. Now, that's not the picking on him part, because geese are mean. He sat there and his fear was that a goose was going to come and bite his shoe. Go on and on and on about how the goose was going to come and bite his shoe. We were in the car. The car was moving. He was still afraid that goose was, don't worry, bud. I got you. You're fine. Right? Now I tell you what, if he was out there wandering around the geese, goose might have bit his shoe. I don't know. Tell you what, when I'm out there playing in sin and I'm out there playing in this world and I'm doing things in the opposite way of what God told me to do, it is likely I'm going to get bit. But when I'm close to Him and I'm not fooling with those things, I'm not playing with those things, they're a lot easier for me to handle. A whole lot easier. We need to be where He can feed us. Ephesians 4:10, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Where is it that I can go and best be fed? Right here. In one of his churches. Oh, no, now hold on. You know, I can meet with the Lord out in nature. You could. But is that the best place? You could. But I tell you what if you're wrong on your understanding? What if you are very particular in your understanding? And I'll tell you this. I've known a lot of people who said that they study and read the Bible on their own and they're satisfied with their home church that they're doing by themselves. But you know what I've never found? Never found a large amount of scriptural knowledge among these people. At least not particularly the parts where we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. They don't know that verse all that well. We come together here in the church. We worship together here in the church. We work, serve, learn, all right here. It is very hard for us to be missing in church. And I don't preach too much on it, but you ought to have attendance to the Lord's local New Testament Baptist church. You know, that preacher's young, that preacher's old, that preacher don't know as much as I know, that preacher ain't as good as some of the other preachers. Is it the Word of God? Well, yeah. Eat it up. If it's the Word of God, eat it up. If it's not, you with all your knowledge and all your wit and wisdom. Well, no, it's not. But if it is, eat it up. We need to be fed. I'll tell you this. You know, I joke. I was talking to one of my buddies down at Flat Rock. He goes, yeah, we had our preaching service. We had a lunch, and then we had a preaching service right after. He goes, so you get the two sermons together. We were kind of talking about that. And I go, huh. I went to my church. I didn't get no preaching. As a joke, because I'm the pastor. I'm getting no preaching. You know, I have to eat. Not physically, I'm good for a few days, but spiritually, I got to eat. I don't eat, I struggle. Pastors don't talk too much about that, but we need to. There's some good preachers. I'll sit there. I listen to their sermons. I eat spiritually. I have to read a little bit more. I have to study a little bit more. Why? Because we need to eat. But I'll tell you this, if I'm not close to the Lord, if I've got sin in the way or I've got time in the way, I'm not going to do it. If I don't prioritize Him, I'm not going to do it. You know, what's He do all day? He needs study. He needs study. He needs reading. He needs edifying. He needs preaching. We all need it, folks. We all need to be fed. And I'll tell you what, it is much better for us to be fed right there in the fold, where we see the Scripture, where we hear the preaching, where we are administered teaching. We see in this verse, He's not willing for any of us to perish. You know, I don't think the Lord has any favorites. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, God don't play favorites. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't want anybody to fall out. He doesn't want anybody to suffer or struggle. It is a pain to Him. It's a pain. Could you imagine taking your child out into the woods and teaching them, don't eat this, don't play with that, don't roll in these leaves over here, stay close, do this, and they go out and they do all the dangerous stuff, right? So, all right, you guys are driving me crazy, get over here. You know, my dad did that. That's the reason why my dad didn't take me hunting all that often. He took me hunting once. Because, all right, now be quiet. That was the one thing I could never do. Be quiet. Dad, what time do the deer come? How many times do you have to shoot it? You want me to carry it? Okay, son, we're going back. Could you imagine trying to do everything you can to protect somebody, do everything you can to help somebody, and they willfully and they purposely put themselves into danger? Why does a parent not want their child to be in danger? Because it breaks our heart to see them hurt. Does it not, parents? Oh, I don't want to see that. Some of you, you've got grown children. You've got grandchildren who are grown. Some of you might even have a few great-grandchildren now. You don't want to see any of them hurt, do you? You love them all. Despite the fact that they keep going out there and doing crazy things to hurt themselves. Right? We don't like it. I want you to look at your Heavenly Father, and I want you to realize He feels the same for you. Where you been? You ain't talked to me in years. Where you been? Missed you. I love you. Hey, you know, it's been a week. You know, you were at my house, but you didn't say anything to me. You know, you've been attending church for weeks. You ain't said a word to me. I love you. I miss you. Please. Stop hurting yourself with this sin. Stop distracting yourself with things that don't do you no good. Come back. Come back. He doesn't want to see anything bad happen to a single one of us. And I'll tell you this about our Lord, too. He doesn't want to see any one of us malnourished. He doesn't want to see any of us malnourished. You know, we joke. You know, some parents, they have a hard time getting their kids to eat. You know, my heart goes out to them. You know, I had a friend, you know, their child literally stopped growing because they were that picky of an eater. And I have people every now and then come to me and say, Brother Matt, what's going on with your kids? Do your kids have a hard time eating? Nope. What about your girl? Girls sometimes are picky eaters. Nope. Ain't too often we got leftovers in our house. Well, will they eat vegetables? Yeah. Will they eat fruit? Yeah. What'd you do? I'm going to blame that on good genetics. Or bad genetics. It's probably not good. It's not good. Bottomless pits. He doesn't want to see you malnourished. He wants to see you hungry for the word. He wants to see you well taken care of. When you find your dark moments, he wants you to be able to turn to the light. When there's things you don't know what to do, he wants you in that word so you can find out what to do. He wants you to put those tools in your hands and know how to use them. That's what he wants. So you tell me. So I'll tell you, he's going to come get you. He's going to come take care of you. He's going to love you. What's amazing is that it's not just when things happen that are out of our control. You know what I'm saying? If you're sick and the Lord brings you peace and comfort, or he even heals you, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Lord, I don't deserve that. I really appreciate that. Thank you. But it's when I bring that trouble onto myself and he's still willing to come deal with me in a loving and caring way. That gets to me. Because I'll make some people angry. They won't ever want to talk to me again. I'll make some people angry, and they'll want to have nothing to do with me. They'll get angry. They'll say some mean words. I'll say some mean words. We'll spend the rest of the time just avoiding each other. My Heavenly Father, I make him mad all the time. He still comes and forgives me and pesters me, and the Holy Spirit troubles me to bring me on back. We need to take joy in that. But above all, I mean, what we're really trying to say in all this is very simple. Are you in the fold? Do you need a rescue? Maybe the rescue you need is salvation. Maybe you've never been a part of God's flock. Maybe what you need is to admit that you are a sinner. We got no problem saying, hey, ain't none of us perfect. But are we willing to take responsibility for that and acknowledge, hey, because I do things that transgress the law of God, I deserve an eternity in hell. I get people ask all the time, hey, I do this, does that mean I'm going to hell? Hey, I do this, does that mean I'm going to hell? It's not about what you do. It's about being a sinner. Yeah, we all are. From the best behaved to the worst behaved, we all deserve it. Do you believe that a man named Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, lived a perfect life? And in living a perfect life, he died paying for the sins of all of us. None of his sins were covered. He had no sins. He died with no sin, giving him the ability to pay for all of mine. And then if I trust in that sacrifice, I believe in him, and I repent, and I say I'm sorry for my sin, I can have eternal life. And not just an eternal life in heaven, but I can have his protection, his care, his love right here on earth while I live. It's a wonderful way to live. And maybe you have that. Maybe you're one of those ones that I'm talking about. You've been sitting in church for so long, but you ain't talked to him in a while. That relationship between you and him ain't right. I ain't saying it's got to be all wrong. Maybe it just ain't right. You know what I mean? Maybe you talk to him, but it's not enough. Maybe you obey him, but not on everything. Maybe you got some wildness to you. Maybe you're just outside the fence. Right? You're not completely gone. We're just sniffing around at some stuff. Right? Quit your sniffing. Get back into the fold before he has to come get you. Because you don't want what's out there. You don't want what's out there. I want you to look at this world. I see a world that's dying. I see tent cities. I see drugs in the street. I see people suffering because of things that they've done to themselves. I see people adopting philosophies and abandoning philosophies because they do nothing for them. You don't want what's out there. You were saved acknowledging the fact that there ain't nothing out there for you. Come back in. Come back in before you get too far. If you need a rescue, I pray today is the day you get it. If you think you're good and in the fold, I want you to pay really close attention to where you are. How close am I to Him? Am I satisfied to be in the back? Or do I want to be as close to Him as I can physically be? Because anything else is dangerous. Where am I? And no matter where you find yourself in what I just said, I want you to know, He wants to come get you. Not in the way that I always preach, hey, you do wrong, God will come get you. No, come get you in a different way. Put you up over His shoulder. Come on. Blood of Christ paid for this. You come on home. I'll take care of your wounds. I'll take care of your hurts. I'll be there for you. You look up, there I am. You have need, here I am. Come home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You've come to get me on multiple occasions. And every time, Lord, You've made my life better. Every time, Lord, You've been a help to me. In all my ways and all my decisions, if I apply Your word, I have seen wonderful things happen. But Father, when I get selfish, when I get distracted, I've always found the opposite. Maybe it's not painful, maybe it's not noticeable to some, but Lord, there's a definite difference in my life when I ain't following You right. So Father, if there be any of us here that ain't close to You, Lord, I pray You come get us. Lord, please. It's odd for me to think that You would rejoice in coming for a rescue, but Lord, I want to see You rejoice. I want to rejoice with You. Father, I pray that You make it an even 100 today. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.